Praise God. You know, talk about a beating. I remember a pastor, some of you remember Pastor Deverson. And one day I said, hey, I said, Scott, come to my office. I'm going to share a few words with you. So he come up to my office. And I said, pull out Proverbs so-and-so, this chapter here, and go to this verse. He opened up the Bible, started reading. And then he said, well, read it to me. So he read it to me. He says, a fool deserves a good beating on the back. And I gave him the wrong scripture. And I'll never forget about that scripture I gave him. So be sure you give the right chapter and the right verse when you're talking to somebody. Praise the Lord. So anyway, I guess, you know, it's good that our parents care for us enough to give us a hard lesson. And I really enjoy being with your mom. Something about your mom, I really value the time I had with your mom. Of course, my mother is not here, and I, you know, how many people know you don't always have your mom with you? Yeah. My mom died when she was, I'm older than what my mom is now. My mom was, well, yeah, my mom was 59 years old when she passed away. I'm older than my mom now, and then passed what she lived, and half of my brothers and sisters who passed away very young in the 40s and 50s. My mom, 59 years old, passed away with cancer. She got healed a number of times through the gifts of the Spirit from cancer. And I bothered my mom, bugged her for many years. I said, Mom, you know, just read the Bible, listen, read the Bible. Go to church and study, because we belong to a word church. Pastor Kevin was our pastor, and he was actually my first real pastor. He taught us the Word of God, and you remember Pastor Kevin. And he taught me the Word of God. He taught me how to teach the Word of God. And he was my first teacher. Of course, I got better than him after a while. And, you know, I look back at the way we teach. We learn, amen? We learn how to be good teachers. And if you want to be a pastor, you have to teach. You know, you can't be preaching all the time. Where's those pastors? And we love to preach. Preaching is good. We yell up a storm and tell how God's going to do this, God's going to do that, He'll do this. But we have to tell Him how He's going to do it. Give Him some background. Give Him some meat and give Him some food and thank God to be tickled. And get, you know, we have to show, you know, principles and steps and show what happens and give some background and stuff. And I think I heard that Pastor Dave, he has a background that he goes so far away, we forget about what he's talking about. And I was watching his program. He's a good teacher, but he's learning, he's flying his wings. I mean, he's a very good man of God to teach. You know, he's a good teacher is Gene. Gene's one of the best teachers, I think, of all the people I've known over the years in the church. She's actually a good teacher, but I don't know, we got to get her to teach once in a while. You got to advance about a year in advance. Let her ask her about that. But my wife, same way. She says, can you teach? She says, no. he says, I don't want to teach. I said, well, we want you to teach. And she's a good teacher, but she has a degree and everything, but she won't teach. So everybody pray for Jean and pray for my mother. My mother. So anyway, we need to exhort people to do what they're supposed to do. And I think one of the things Gene has is to be able to teach. That's her area. And we can't be frightened about what people think of us. If we make a mistake, big deal. Amen? Some people, remember my mother-in-law, she made a mistake one day giving testimony, and she worried for 2 weeks every night. And nobody remembered what she said. But that's the way it is. Sometimes we forget things. And I remember, that's part of learning, is that when you go give presentations, and I would be concerned after that for a long time. Why did they say this? Why did they say that? And but that's still how it is. So anytime you want to criticize me, you know, I get lots of times to make mistakes. I've been doing this for at least 3-4 times a week, 5 times a week for 29 years. And you can make so many mistakes. And you always have to be, there's the thing about preaching and teaching, you have to be ready mentally. You have to be really mentally prepared, spiritually prepared before you speak. And you can't just get up there and ramble off a few scriptures. You got to be very prepared to know what you're going to say. You have to visualize yourself, how you're going to say something, how you're going to do it. But if you don't do that, you'll make more mistakes. And you're not always prepared because things happen. Because things happen in your life, emergencies arise, and you have to still be prepared. And so that's what it was like for me, Good Friday service. How many of you were at the Good Friday service? Where the rest? Why'd you stay home? But anyway, we had to really get ready for that service. The pastor called me up. We just had a few hours come in town, and I mean, I'm tired, man. I just drove like 17, 20 hours. And let's have a meeting. I said, well, I'll be there. So I got up there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and talked about the evening. So very little time to prepare sometimes. So you have to use your time wisely. You can't always have all the time you need. So, but anyways, the Lord spoke this message to me while I was, my wife and I were in Toronto. And the Lord gave this to me to preach to you today. And I knew it was the Lord because it wouldn't go away. And so this is God's word speaking to you today. So if you turn in your Bibles with me, and the message today is in the topic area of spiritual growth. If you want to, you know, a topic area, that's a good area to teach on. Soul development or renewing the mind, those are all the topic areas that we, if we're teaching. So I entitled the message today, Control Thoughts, Control Life. Everybody say that, Control Thoughts, Controlled Life. So this is what we're going to want to talk about. If you want to control your life in advance, we're going to have to do something with our mind. And the text I'm giving is two texts. The first one is Isaiah 55, verse 8 in the Amplified Bible. The second scripture is 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 in King James. And you could look at the other versions of it as well. But the King James is okay because it does. I'm showing you some phrases there that will really give us some understanding of what God's talking to us about. Control thoughts, control life. Text. Isaiah 55, 8, the Amplified Version. Let me just, who's back there? Pastor Steve or Kendra? I have to send this to them so that you guys can see this on television. They can see it. So I don't know who do I send this to? Kendra. You guys wait there for a second. I'll get back to you. So I told you, you can't always be ready, right? And you can't be shy about stuff and just fall apart because you make a mistake. Okay, so that's the first thing about learning to speak. Stand on your two feet. And so anyway, and don't wear a cheap suit. Okay, Isaiah 55, verse 8. Turn to your Bibles. Let's all start again. Isaiah 55, okay, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God talking. God saying my thoughts through the prophet Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, God doesn't think like you and me. We're very limited. We have a little bit limited scope on how to think and use our brain, our mind. He says, nor your ways, my ways. God's way of doing stuff in life, it's not going to be the way we handle things. We think we know how to handle things because based on our 50 years or 70 years of life, we think we know a lot of things. Or based on your degrees or your training. Thank God for your training. Thank God for your education. But that's not the way God does things. He's got a whole different way of doing something. Verse Paul, the apostle, apostle here, he says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he said, casting down imaginations. Who's going to cast them down? Well, you're going to do it. Is the Holy Spirit going to do it? No, you're going to do it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, that's the Word of God, information that God gives us. If anything is different from what God's saying in His Word, and that's why it's important to know the Word, to read the Scriptures, that if a thought comes to your mind, it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you're going to have to cast it down. For instance, if the devil told you, I'm going to kill you, you say, well, the Lord says, with long life will I satisfy him. You say that out loud to yourself. He says, well, you're going to go broke with all that tithing business. And, well, God supplies all my need. You respond to him that way. He says, the Lord says, well, you're going to get sick. You're getting sick again. Well, he heals all my infirmities. Where is my sicknesses? Amen? He says, all that trouble is coming to you. You talk to him in Psalm 91. He said, no evil shall befall me. Amen? You keep talking to him. He says, all the trouble is coming to me. Oh, you know, this is happening. That's happening. And you say that no trouble will come near me. Well, it's time to get afraid that I will not be afraid. The Lord's my shepherd. Amen. You respond to him. That's how you respond to the devil. He'll flee from you. You resist him. So whenever his thought comes to you, you talk back to the devil. I like with one of our preachers, our speakers at Rhema, Mark Hankins. And he always said, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. Everybody said, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. That means you need to fight back by using your tongue, your words against the enemy. Talk to him about what the Bible says. David talked to that enemy and he said, you know what? Today I'm going to cut your head off. You come at me with a spear and whatever he came to him with, came to me with a spear and knife or whatever he had, a gun. And he says, I come to you in the name of our God. Amen? I come here with the Word of God to you. So talk to the devil. If he talks to you about things, you talk to him back. Don't just cry. Woo! Talk to him back, amen? Just like you talked to your mama back for many years. Now talk to the devil back. Okay? So those are two scriptures. And we should close and do the benediction right now. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. It is so wonderful to be free in the Word of God. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you've given to us to be our guide, to be our teacher. Thank you that He lives in us. He's giving us information all the time. Thank you for the holy angels that surround us every day, that you have given each one of us personally an angel to care for us. And when we speak the Word of God, they go into action. You said the angel camps about those that fear him. You said you've given your angels to protect us, to watch us in all our ways. Thank you for those angels, those spirit beings you've created to watch over our lives. Thank you for revelation and wisdom that you've given us. Thank you for victory in Jesus Christ, that the enemy is defeated. He is a defeated foe, and he is a liar, and you are the truth, and you are the victory. And you live in us. Thank you today that this word will pull us over the things that the devil is trying to pull over our minds. We give you praise for every mind that is set free and every heart that's free. In advance, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a call last night from someone. Must have been about 1 o'clock at night, I think. Someone was having a hard time with their lives and just, I guess, with drug addiction, losing things, and having a hard time. You know, people have a hard time. And I get calls regularly. Yesterday, I must have had about half a dozen calls, some of them more important, seemingly like life and death situations. Regularly, I get calls on a regular basis. Through the internet, my Facebook, Messenger, and just phone calls sometimes. And it seemed like people have a hard time with different things. And it's sometimes a lot of things, if they did the basic thing, they wouldn't have this trouble. None of them that called me have a church, that have an own pastor. I told my wife yesterday, and another guy called me. I said, this person called me, and and through you know, other people, and through school. And so I went to visit this one person. So I asked Pastor Ken to come visit, come with me. Sometimes I ask Pastor Ken. Sometimes he can make it, and I couldn't make it yesterday because I'm too busy eating pork chops. And I have some reasons for not going. But this person called me and said that they were in the last stages of cancer. And so I went to visit about a year ago, maybe. So I went to talk to that person, and we talked for a bit. And I realized I couldn't get over to him anything because he's already thinking about other things, and he's already, his message is that he's going to die. And I've been trying to change his tune, trying to change the way he's going to talk. So I wasn't prepared to pray for him because I figured the prayer is not going to do him any good. After I pray, you know, he's going to undo whatever I prayed about. So he's not ready for prayer. How many people know that just because you visit someone in the hospital, they're not always ready for prayer? Though at least the way they want you to pray for them. But you have to understand they need prayer, but not the kind they you could give to them, minister to them right away. They need other things first. So I was talking to that person. You know, I've been visiting hospitals and people with sick beds for many years now. So you learn some things. You learn a few things through trial and error. One thing I learned before is never go to a hospital who somebody sends you to them. You must get a call from either the person themselves or somebody close to that person giving you permission to go there. I've been to many hospital beds where it's critical. They say, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, that person wants me. Well, no, get out. And so I've been embarrassed too many times, and sometimes I get kicked out. So, you know, you have to be able to use your sense. So I talked to that man who had this cancer. I said to him, well, you know, I brought a few little extra small little books, very easy to read. I said, I want you to read this, and tomorrow I'm going to pray for you. See, I want to get him ready, faith-wise. Just, you know, 10 pages of little booklet. I said, it's about how to receive healing and what healing is all about, and so on. So I went back there the next day. I said, well, you read that book? Oh, no, I don't have no time. So I said, okay, I'm going to give you two more books. Maybe you'll read one of them. I'm going to come back again. So I went back again. Oh, no, he didn't read that book again. So about the third time, I went back again, and I brought Pastor Ken, figured he might listen to Ken. But he said, who's that guy? So anyway, he didn't read those things. So I tried talking to him about different things, and so I left. And I couldn't help him because he was not ready to hear about things. So how many people know you got to get the Word of God into them? And unless God does something differently, see, you have to minister to people based on your understanding of a certain situation. You don't always be quick to pray for everybody because being quick to pray for everybody doesn't always help them. And you can tell by just listening to your own mind right now about what happened to the people you prayed about. They didn't always get healed, and they always sometimes got even worse. So take the time to talk to somebody. Jesus did. The apostles did. Jesus asked that person, well, how long has your son been this way? Oh, since a childhood. And so you talk to people. Find out what they're, what's going on in their life, and their words will tell you where their faith is located. Come on now. And sometimes you can ride them, on your own faith if they're baby Christians. And you can carry them on in faith. But if they've been around many years and God's given them the time to send them different places, and how many people know God has been faithful to everybody and given them opportunity to talk to people who knows things about God, and finally at the last hour when they're about to die, they call you. And sometimes because your time is limited, you don't have time because you can't help them. They need a few weeks, they need a month. Sometimes like this one over here was a supernatural miracle of God. That happens every once in a while. But the next time that guy asks for something like that, if he don't obey God, he's going back up there. How many people know that? I've gone to Benny Hinn meetings. I've sat in the same places where people have been healed instantly from incredible illnesses. And eventually died 2 years later because they wouldn't obey God. They wouldn't read the Bible for themselves. They wouldn't read the scriptures. They wouldn't go to church. The Lord prompted me one time to phone someone. Phone this person over here in Long Lac and tell them they need to go to church and learn to stand on faith, because that illness is coming back to them. If they don't learn to fight back, they're going to be overwhelmed by it. And I remember my mother, she had the same disease that came upon her the next time, and I couldn't get it off her, or the gifts of the Spirit wouldn't operate, because she had to obey God. Now it was her responsibility to talk to God and to stand on her own two feet. You can get away with people sometimes, help them for a short time, but eventually they have to stand on their own two feet. Glory to God. Anyway, that's a little teaching right there again. Amen? So we're talking about the mind. Two ideas about control thoughts, control mind, or control life. The text amplified Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So he's talking about thoughts. In other words, he's making a distinction. Sometimes what you're thinking might not come from God. Everything you think about doesn't always come from God. So everything you're thinking right now might not always be based on Scripture. So you don't always have to make decisions quickly on what you think. I always tell people, who told you you should think the way you think? I mean, Brother Hagin always used to tell us, examine your thoughts based on the Scripture. Is that the way God thinks about people, about life, about you? And you have to examine the Scripture, your mind, or at least your mentality in light of that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice this phrase, bringing into captivity every thought. That's what I want to talk about. Let me just say, the way you think today will result in some kind of action. If you want good things to happen or to come your way, make a commitment today to change your mind in light of God's scriptures. Your behavior comes from the way you think. Your feelings come from the way you think. Your fears come from the way you think. Everything you think about, the actions that you take, has been a result of your mentality, the way you think about things. So the way we operate in life comes from the way we thought about our past. There's a lot of folks that are stuck in the past. There's nations stuck on their past. They want they're nostalgically thinking about how good it was in the past. I don't want to go back to the past. My dad was a full-time hunter-gatherer, traditional man. And he worked hard for put some food on the table. I don't want to go back to that. And so I don't mind, you know, catching the odd moose. By the way, my daughter and I, Natasha, went to speak at a convention or whatever you call that, a workshop, seminar, over here, a community near Sulakaut. And she said, we're driving down the road. She says, Dad, I've never seen a moose. I looked at her. And I looked in the mirror. She said, Dad, it's your fault. You never taught me about anything. And I said, I have to admit that. I said, yeah, I'm sorry about that. But wait a minute. Let me just pray. I said, God, show this girl a moose. In 10 minutes' time, I said, here's a moose right there. She gets up and says, oh. And she's looking at it, mesmerized for like 20 seconds. And the moose is not going to stand there. And I said, she tries to get her phone and try to take a picture of it, and it's gone. So anyways, he said, thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Dad. Anyway, that's my moose story for today. But we need to think about, you know, things in light of Scripture. Don't just be nostalgic about it, thinking the good old days. A lot of them were bad days. You don't want to go backwards. You want to go forward. Go ahead. Better days ahead. My preposition today is this. Your mind feeds on what you think about. Say it together. Say, my mind feeds on what I think about. So the scripture is going to verify this, because the way you think, you know, what's in your mind is what you've been feeding it. If you just read newspapers all day, read TV, that's what's going to be in there. When the time comes, you're not going to have any scripture. What is the mind? The mind is a part of a person, or a faculty of a person, that allows them the ability to have awareness and enables that person to think and feel. It's part of our soul. It's the faculty of consciousness and thought. Your mind is a faculty of consciousness and thought. It contains your thinking, your thoughts, and your imagination. It's the brain power, they call it. We call it brain power. Your mind is brain power. It's the intellect or understanding, the reasoning part of you. It's the ability to make judgments and to have some sense. Anybody ever tell you, have some sense? And so it's where we make decisions or we decide things. So if you can control the mind, you can control someone's life. So if you can control your thoughts, you can determine your future. You can eventually end up where your mind has been long thinking about for years. The children of Israel were a prime example of the fact. Their minds were always on the past. You ever notice that? They're always all thinking about the past. Oh, I wish, why did we come out of Egypt? We at least had food there. But they were beaten black and blue. They had nothing. They couldn't even own themselves. And they want to go back there? See how the mind is trained? The mind is trained that way. You know, you take someone who's been abused all their life, they want to go back where they came from. Okay? I remember I had a horrible time living in my community. I mean, not everyone was like that in my community, but my home in my community and where I live was a horrible place to live. It was very dark. And when I came out of there, I longingly looked on Highway 1117, thinking about where I want to go. Because I couldn't see the future. My mind couldn't see the future yet. You know, I met a guy yesterday. My wife said, let's go to the Canadian Tire. We only have an hour there, and then we have to go over here. She said, I don't want you to go and talk to everybody. We got a few minutes, he says, you know. He said, we are on time limit. So I went there. All of a sudden, the first thing I jumped up, somebody already we saw was talking to me. Walked in there, another guy's talking to me. I try to make my way with my wife, and somebody pokes me in the back. A man from Long Lac, he said, oh, you're a Roma. I finally get to meet you. You're my friend on Facebook, so on. And we had a good talk. Well, why did I say that? I don't know. But anyway. The mind wanders. Right? Anyway, I'll come back to that some other day. So, those guys had their mind on the past for years and years and years. They're thinking about going back and seeing something. They're blinded. You know, they can't see anything else in the future except what they saw. They thought they lived like the children of Israel. They want to go back where they came from before. So, Numbers 13:33 says this. Numbers 13:33. There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, part of the Nephilim. We were like grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. In their imagination, they saw themselves so insignificant, like a grasshopper facing a giant. And that's the way people sometimes see themselves, and that's the way they feel. Like a grasshopper. Grasshopper mentality. Very, very good grasshopper. You have chosen wildly. Okay. So we were in their sight. In other words, not only were they thinking what they think about themselves. See, what you think about yourself is how far you're going to go in life with either with the devil, wherever you are. Amen. And then they thought, that's what everybody sees in me. They see me this way. See, what you see about yourself, you project. Others see in you. Huh? So we think, you know, just because we don't feel good about ourselves, we think everybody feels that way about you. And that's why you cannot take any kind of compliment. Say, oh, that shirt looks nice. Oh, I just got that from the rummage sale. We don't need to know that. Okay? It looks good on you. Just accept it. Thank God. Amen. And so everything they, even those guys all died in the wilderness with this type of thinking. Every one of those guys died in the wilderness because of that kind of thinking. And you'll die with thinking, thinking. And they worried about what others thought about them, how they saw them. The way we think, as I mentioned, makes a whole lot of difference in the world of how we work in the world, how we interact with other people. We should be confident and think well of ourselves in light of Scripture. And we always say, like, dude, don't be in one ditch or the other. I'm too good. I'm really horrible. Nobody likes me. Find some even place in there and stick yourself in there somewhere. A transformed mind. Ephesians 4:23, the CEB Bible. Common English Bible for all the common sense people. He said, instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit. God is telling us to renew our mind by the Spirit of God. And He does it by giving you the Word. He doesn't know anything else except giving you a Scripture. Every child of God needs to continue to renew their mind, because renewing the mind is a process that's not automatic just because you're born again. It's something that we decide to do. And many people exercise, they take tablets, they do certain regimens for their bodies, for their hair, whatever. But they do little for their thought life. They don't get up in the morning. I tell my students when I go to the college, I said, you know, this morning I had to get up and I had to read Scripture and I had to read the thoughts for the day and made up my mind that nothing in that classroom is going to disturb me today. Amen. None of the things any teacher is going to say, anything that happens to me, I'm going to just be nice to everybody. Amen. If they're not nice to me, I'm still going to be nice to them. Amen. And I'm going to smile and say, how are you? You know, so you have to be that way. It's something you decide to do every day. Right? Some people think they're smiling. They say, I'm smiling on the inside. Huh? So you have to smile. And it takes a while to smile at everybody. Like it takes, you know, I watch myself. I try this, and I think I look a certain way, but I have to really force myself. My wife said, you know, no offense to anybody, but she says sometimes for some Finns, it's like the way they look. So I'm not mad. Even my mother-in-law tells me, I'm not mad at you. You know, sometimes for us First Nations folks, you know, they said, I remember in school, they said, Native, First Nations people, they used to call us Indians, are very straight-faced. There's kind of like a blank look on there. They don't look happy at all. I said, well, we don't look happy because you got our land. in my mind, you see. That's why we're mad. You know? But this is the idea, like, you know. But no offense. See, I'm trying to talk about, you know, when people say there's no offense, there's usually an offense. So many people, they exercise, they do a lot of things for their bodies. And they'll make sure they have certain tablets and vitamins for their bodies. Yeah. Do a little for their mind. Got a rotten mind. Huh? And Brother Hagin used to say, your mind, the renewing of the mind, is a process that you never stop doing. Never, no matter how born again you are. So I've been born again for 40 years, but I have a rotten mentality. You know, no matter how many years you've been born again, you still have to renew your mind every day. Yeah. Every day. You have to take care of your thought life. Because if you think wrong, you're going to feel wrong, and your behavior will eventually be wrong, and then your results will be wrong. And so every day, renewing the mind, Brother Hagin used to tell us, it's like combing your hair. It doesn't come into place by itself. Imagine all of you didn't comb your hair, you know, this morning, just like this guy here. No, imagine that, hey, you didn't comb your hair or brush your teeth. You'd be dry. Right? So your teeth doesn't get brushed every day by itself or flossed. You have to do it yourself. Well, I go to the dentist once a year, somebody says. Polish my teeth every once in a while. Here, take them. So, you know, we have to learn to do these things every day. Renewing the mind doesn't just happen automatically. Now, here's what Paul said, Romans 12, verses 1 and 3. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, he's saying, after you're born again, there's something that you have to do with your body. That, you know, he's not talking about just, you know, the physical, feed your body and rest it. He's not only talking about that, but he's talking about learning to, your body has impulses. You ever notice that? It wants to do other things that used to do when it was out there before you were born again. It still wants to lie, cheat, steal, and take drugs and smoke and do whatever you used to do with it. When you're born again, your body doesn't get born again, so you have to do something with it every day. You make a choice. And I remember when I was starting to smoke, I was a Christian for years, and I went back smoking for a while. Gimuj. That means, you know, behind everybody's back. And make sure I had enough cigarettes before I went to church. Then I met my wife. She says, you have to quit smoking. I said, okay. So she said, you have to quit. I'm not going to marry you. So I couldn't lie to her. So I quit smoking. And now she's got me to deal with. But, you see, just because you're born again doesn't mean it's going to go away, all those feelings, right? So and the next thing he talks about over here, notice over here, and he says, be not conformed to this world. Wow. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you don't renew your mind, you're not going to know the will of God in your mind. So we have to do something with our mind. The Bible tells us we have to do something with our mind regularly. This is not going to happen just because you're born again, you got filled with the Spirit last night. You're going to have to do something on purpose with your mind every day. That you're going to feed it God's thoughts. Whether it's on finances, you feed it what God's thinking is on finances. If it's about children, feed it about what God thinks about kids, about parenting. If it's on treating people nice, you feed your mind on loving people. You have to do that. Train your mind. Make sure you're feeding yourself that way. So, by reading those scriptures, we can make sure these are things that he said. The world around you can create a mindset in you. So don't be conformed the way everybody else thinks around you. That's what it's telling us in this scripture. So it's also telling us you change your mind by making up a decision to do it yourself. You do it. God, the Holy Ghost, is not going to do it. Angels are not going to do it. And no one else is going to do it but you. If you have a bad attitude and you feel bad, it's your fault. That's right. And so you have to be able to do something to fight back that against those evil thoughts. Have a higher standard. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace of God, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly than he ought to." He didn't say not to think highly about yourself. He said, don't think highly about yourself. Highly than you ought to. You ought to think nice about yourself. You ought to, think good thoughts about yourself, but not higher. Don't put yourself higher than you're supposed to. Okay, so that's what we do. We just say, okay, here's my place. I'm sticking in my place. God knows me. If God's going to use me, he knows where to find me. I'm going to stay where I'm supposed to stay. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and he knows where I am. And I don't have to have any man elevate me. If I have to use you to elevate me, then I'm going to have to be afraid because you might pull me down. If God puts you somewhere, no one else can pull you down. Come on. That's right. So that's why we shouldn't look up to people to do things for us, because they put you in, they'll pull you back out. Let God do it. We're not going away. Faith City Church is not going away. Amen. People, first of all, they try to kill us before we started. So, learn to do the Isaiah 55, as which we saw. God says, my thinking is not like yours. We have to realize God wants us to use our minds by applying the word. God says that we need to put our thoughts to work for ourselves. When you live with the world, you'll eventually think and act like the world. He says, therefore, I testify in the Lord, Romans 12, that there henceforth, now notice this, Ephesians 4, 17. Therefore, I testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as others walk, Gentiles walk. Gentiles are people who didn't have the word. Paul is making that distinction. The Gentiles back then, they didn't have the word of God. They were not born again. So he says, in the vanity of their mind, that's a mind void of God's thinking. In the vanity of their mind. In other words, people in the world, they don't think about God. People that are not born again, they never think about God. They think about themselves, what they want. How can I get out of this thing over here? So he says, God says to us right here through Paul in Ephesians, he says, don't think about what the world thinks is like that. Their mind is without God. They're void of God in their mind. Notice what he said. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means lawlessness, living a life without any kind of restraint. God restrains us, the Bible says. The love of God restrains us. To work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you have put off concerning their former conversation or manner of life and conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's teaching us that we have to not have a mind that's void of God's thinking. You have to ask yourself, is my thinking in line with God's word about that situation right there? Is my mind in line with God about my wife or husband? Is what I'm thinking about my neighbor, is that God's thought about them? No. Then we have to say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to change my mind right now. Make a decision right now. In the world, but not of it. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Colossians 1:12 says, always thanking the Father, thanking the Father that He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in light. He says in here, we're people who are in the kingdom of God. We're in this world, but we're not of it. John 17:16, Jesus said over here, we are not of the world. They are not of the world, talking to His disciples. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Jesus is not of this world. He said, these guys are not of the world. You're not of this world. So He expects us to make decisions not based on the standards and conduct of the world, but conduct that is, you know, fitting in the Word of God. John 15:19, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of this world. You know, I remember being in one of the things I learned about when I was a Christian, being a Christian, young Christian, I didn't understand about a lot of stuff, but I understood I didn't belong certain places. See, I'd been in the AA for 4.5 years. And I when I got born again, I got really born again. I began to, when you're young in the Lord, you just say whatever you want to say because you love Jesus. So I didn't understand how to conduct myself back then, but I knew that I shouldn't talk freely about, because I'm not supposed to. That's their meetings. It's not a gospel meeting. It's an AA meeting. I didn't understand that. So I started speaking about everything about the Bible. But they said to me, the Salvation Army is down the road. And you hear that a lot of times, you realize that you don't belong in certain places. So I realized I didn't belong there anymore. I wanted to stay there. I loved it there. I loved the people. I loved the camaraderie we had about our disease, illness, our sin, or whatever you want to call it. I had a problem, and I was working with them, and I realized that I don't belong here anymore. I got to go. And so I left. And they were waiting for me to drink. And it's almost 40 years I haven't drank. Woo! I'm not going back. And I read in those books it says that AA is only a turning point of a real spiritual life that you will find someday. Found it. You know, so, you know, I love, I mean, I would go there today. I still feel good. It makes me feel good when I go to those meetings. I'd go there right now and I feel good. I get stuff out of it all the time. Listen, you know what? Don't be too high on yourself because you're Christian. You can't go to certain places for help. Come on now. Some of you ought to be in an AA meeting this afternoon. Put that in your hat. Amen. There's lots of good people in the world. They're not Christian, but they love people. For some reason, they're good people. They might not praise the Lord with you, but you can, you know, at least agree on certain things. John 17:14, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. Just as I don't belong to the world. See, you have to understand, just because the world doesn't celebrate you the way you want them to, is because they're not supposed to. You don't belong there. They don't belong to you. You're a different kingdom. Doesn't mean you have to be away from them totally. Be with them as much as you can and help them out and show them the light. And that's what it says in there. Otherwise, we'd have to take you out of this world, the scripture says. John 17:14, I've given them your word. The world hates them, and so forth. You have to choose who you hang around with, right? If you want to change your mind. Proverbs 13:20 says, Message Bible says, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Take a good look around with all your friends. You will not go higher than your friends. So they said to us that crows and ravens don't hang around with, you know, with eagles, but I've seen a lot of black birds with those eagles in a dump. Mark Davis preaching here? Yeah, praise God. You know, he says to us, I mean, it's true probably sometime, but he says, eagles don't eat carcasses. I'm driving down the road, me and Pastor Kent, going to Drolton. We saw an eagle eating a carcass. What kind of eagles they have around here anyway? So I turned my car around. Is that an eagle? Looked at us, yes. But, you know, I mean, normally I guess it doesn't. Maybe in the north they eat carcasses. But anyways, so in other words, my message is those eagles shouldn't be hanging around with those black birds. Those crows, they're bad, they're dark. They eat garbage. So because if you put garbage in your mind, you're going to think garbage, right?
That's right?
So don't hang around with certain folks because they all think wrong. It gets on you. So 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. So the way we think, our character is developed by the way our thought life and what we're thinking on a regular basis. So we don't live in darkness anymore. Ephesians 4, we read earlier, 17 to 18, he says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they hopelessly are confused, NLT says. Their minds are full of darkness. Well, we're not supposed to live in darkness. Why would God, by the Holy Spirit, tell Paul to tell the Christians not to live in darkness like the rest of the world? Because potentially you can do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not automatic. We can think as filthy and as bad and corrupt as we are exposed to in our lives on a regular basis. Paul's talking to born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Ephesian Christians. It's amazing. Don't live like the rest of the world with a dark mind without God's word and thoughts. Instead, renew your attitudes. Produce your thinking on using the word of God. Produce new thoughts with God's word. Being continually washing your mind with the word. Here's what 1 Peter 1:13 says. It says over here, what you feed your mind daily, you'll actually pull up on a regular basis, right? So, can you pull up 2 Peter 1:13, excuse me? 2 Peter. It's not what it is. It's about pulling the loins of your mind. Is that in there somewhere? Is it the next verse? Did I give you the wrong scripture? Who's got the scripture? Who's got a scripture? Pastor Ken, somebody's got the scripture.
Loins.
Just First Peter. No, it's First Peter. What about 1 Peter 1? Try 1 Peter 1. I can get it, but I'm gonna. Okay, let's find it. So, 1:13, yeah. It's 2 Peter, right? 1 Peter or 2 Peter?
1 Peter.
1 Peter, yeah. Just one scripture. So, is that 1 Peter 1:13?
Yeah.
King James. Can you get the King James? Because it's actually the best translation for this word. Okay. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, of your mind. He's telling us to do something with our mind, right? Gird up the loins of mind. I mean, he's telling, by the Holy Spirit, Peter is telling you to do something with your mind. When he says gird up the loins of your mind, they're thinking about this. Here's the analogy. In those days, those guys had robes, at least those priests or whatever, they had robes on. Okay? So they had to grab their robes and lift up their robes so that they can run and walk faster, or else they'll trip over their robe. So he's telling you to pull it up. So you have to pull up your thought life. And it says, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins represents reproductive system in your physical body. In a man, right? Because you will produce or reproduce whatever you think about will be reproduced in your life. So God's word is telling us is that learn to produce better thinking by taking God's word in your own hand. So be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is be brought to you. So we need to learn to do that. You take a hold of your own thought life. And whenever you go through, I don't know if you've had this kind of attacks like I've had, where the enemy attacks you. And you have to fight. You have to say, no, my mind is my mind. I can think what I want to think. I push this thought out, but God has given me a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I am allowed to think positive. I will think positive. That's what you have to do. Next time you get it. Anybody ever been attacked in their mind like me? I mean, just bombarded with just horrible thoughts. I said, no, listen, my mind is my mind. Everybody say, my mind is my mind. See, it's your mind. Not you don't just think, you can't just, like people feel helpless about, oh, I can't. No, you can. You can do something. God tells you. You know, what is that scripture in Isaiah 26:3? The mind will be filled with peace if you focus on God. You know, your mind is going to be peaceful when you put your thoughts in God's word. So, let me just close. I'll close right there. We're not talking about the precious blood of Jesus. Okay. This is a different word here. Do we have any musicians in the house? Okay. Now, we have to, more than anything else, protect our minds. Proverbs 4:23, the Common English Bible, Proverbs 4:23 says this, more than anything else, guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Can you see that? Above everything else, guard and protect your mind. You don't want to have a mind that's poisoned with the enemy. Because how many people know that someone can come along right now and tell you a story about somebody else and poison your mind about somebody? I've had that happen to me a lot of times as a pastor, as a leader. Someone comes and tells somebody something, and then all of a sudden those people hate me. They don't even know me. And we listen to them. We shouldn't. Because that's what happened to Paul. Wherever Paul went to preach, the people went ahead of them and told them about lies about Paul. And they rioted and had all kinds of trouble. And Paul had a lot of trouble because what people said about him from other people. There's people who don't like you because of what somebody else said about you. So guard your mind. Be vigilant. Take time to change your mind. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Father, I want to thank you today as we close this service that we will begin to protect our mind with using your word today. We praise you. We thank you for this time and opportunity to study your word. Alan, come on over here. I'm going to pray for you right now. This is Al, my friend Al. He's the Chief Alan. I call him Chief Alan. He's not in the office right now. But he's coming back. He's got more comebacks than Muhammad Ali. Amen. Brother Allen. We need about four ushers. The anointing is hitting him. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Father, for Allen. I want to thank you for the anointing. He's come here to be to pray over him for the anointing of God. I rest my hand on him. I curse out that malady that you've experienced. I command it to leave and leave from his body right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For the Holy Ghost to burn out every ailment that's plaguing him right now. Help his back, his body, his physical flesh, and every bone and every ache that he has. Strengthen him. Let his days be stronger than he's ever had before. Because he's come and believing with coming to church and believing the man of God will lay hands upon him. And he honor him. You said, him that honors me, I'll honor him. And God says today, Al, God's honoring you today.
Amen.
With healing power, anointing, the Holy Ghost. Thank you right now for healing, Alan, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen his body. Strengthen his body right now. Give him energy. Give him strength throughout his day. Thank you. Straighten out that back right now. Straighten out those legs. Make those feeble knees strong. Every bone to be strong. Pain to be gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me that. Lift your hand up in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Oh, Rabaka Samba, Nika, Laba Soto, Baka Redeshi, Emanaka Satalabosete, Oh, Raman, Narakishi, Oh, Rabaka Sambaka, let him be filled with your spirit. Let him be full of joy as he goes on today. Oh, Haba Makaladeshi, Emanaka Satakarabosite, Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Move that leg, Ellen. Was your back was sore? Yeah? Your stomach was sore? Did you have pain in your stomach this morning?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit? Did you sense anything in your spirit, in your body, that God's doing something? I just sense the anointing all over you. Woo!
Yeah.
Hey? What's going on in there? Anything happening in there?
Warm
feeling in that thing? In the name of Jesus. You see, God is giving a witness that healing power is going in there. Thank you. God says, I'm going to honor you because you honor his word today. You said, I'm going to the man of God. He's going to lay hands on me. I'm going to be better. You go, you're all healed, man. I tell you. Your doctors now find nothing wrong with you. Yeah, you know what? You phoned me right away. I prayed right away. And the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. Praise God. Bless you, bro. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Next time we see him, he'll be running around.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Woo! Father, in the name of Jesus, we close. Thank you. If there's anybody here that hasn't come to Christ, let's close your eyes for one moment. If you're here, you've never been born again. I don't know, you might have been in this church for a long time, not been born again, but today you can get born again. If that's you, you can be saved today. You can come to Jesus. If there's anybody right here, right now, that say, I need to be born again. I want to come to God. I've never walked up publicly. Just like Jesus died publicly for me on the cross. I've never acknowledged Jesus publicly. I want to do that today. If that's you right now, let me see your hand right now. If that's you. You've never acknowledged. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else besides this couple right here that have never acknowledged Jesus Christ publicly? That's you right now. I'm going to look around right now. That's you. Anybody here? Let's pray for you right now. Come on up here, ma'am. Sir, come here. Glory to God. Just stand right here. In the name of Jesus, what's your name?
Shane.
Bless you, Shane. Bless you, ma'am. What is your name?
Patty.
You've never come to Jesus Christ publicly before and said, Jesus, come in my life. You ever done that before?
No.
Never done that? Let's do it today. Everybody pray with us like you do you for the first time. Say,
dear God in heaven,
I come to you,
acknowledge
you,
that you are God.
I cannot make it without you. I'm sinful. I want to be pure like Jesus. Give me new life. I believe he is the Son of God. I give him my life right now. I surrender my will to him right now. And today, I'm born again because of it. Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for this couple. Are you guys a couple?
No.
Brother, sister and brother. Father, I pray for this sister and brother. In the name of Jesus, I pray that there'll be a marked difference in their lives. For sure, for sure, for sure, God says. There will be a marked distinction on this day, a complete turnaround in your life. Victory, victory, brightness, sunshine. The better days are ahead for you. Oh, don't worry about the storms. Don't worry about what people say. Move ahead. Move on ahead. Brighter days are coming your way. In the name of Jesus, I pray for your power, the power of God to heal your body, to rescue you from every ailment. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.